Hi everyone, welcome back to TVI. Carl here.
Julian here. Hi everyone, how are you doing?
Welcome back to this week's episode. It's a couple of days late, but it's worth it because it's an absolute belter, isn't it? We had a
It's
catch
fun.
up with Daniel Sloss, who, like myself, is one of the few non-Australians currently in Australia, but he's in quarantine in Sydney. So,
Was born there, Australia.
yeah. You never mentioned it.
Melbourne, yeah.
We should get a merch made. Just have a mug that says it's not just Julian, then quote mark saying I was born in Australia.
No one's ever cared.
It's a very fun episode. We have a right laugh. I think it was a good. I was a bit giddy because I'd done a couple of gigs, had a few beers, and got back. It was the afternoon for you. Basically, everyone was in good energy levels. There was no, the time difference didn't play any.
It's a good time, yeah. Is
It
it
was
what time
good.
was it? It was
It was like
quite.
a.
What
It was
was?
late. It was like 11:30 at night. But I just
I
literally
don't know.
come in the door,
It was a
and I.
nice, easy 1 p.m. for me.
Exactly. So, everyone was in good spirits. You just got out of bed, and. You just had your cereal.
No milk. I couldn't be bothered to go to the shop. Went to the shop in my dressing gown.
Anyway, we you can enjoy this. Patrons can watch the video. We're actually we're having a couple of issues with our Patreon video uploads at the minute, so bear with us. Basically, some of them we upload them to Patreon. And they then are corrupted for some reason, for some people can't watch them. So we're now gonna set up a little sneaky sort of secret a channel somewhere and just give you the link to that on Patreon. So bear with us while we sort that. But other than that, that's it, isn't it?
Sit back,
Enjoy
relax,
and
enjoy
enjoy
the episode.
fun times.
We're actually changing the podcast
to Carl and Julian. How you doing? Well, I died of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right, bro.
Go.
We're recording. Welcome back to TVI. Carl
We
Donnelly
are
here.
live,
We are
Julian Dean.
literally the opposite of live. It's a recorded
Oh,
podcast.
yes.
But we're live now.
We're like,
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
live.
yeah.
I mean, if somebody's listening, it's live for them, isn't it? You know what I
We don't
mean?
record our parts separately, then edit them
We do.
together.
I get everyone to send their audio and I just cut it together and I just make up the whole
17 hours of editing. Every
God, what?
episode.
That would be such impressive improv if you were like, you
Oh,
know what?
man.
You send it through and I'll
Yeah.
just bounce back. Yes, and, yes, and, yes, and.
That would actually be a really good idea for a podcast. You say to everyone, look, send me 20 minutes of you just spitballing, and I'm going to cut it together into one podcast.
Just
Everyone,
leave a few gaps.
everyone gets cancelled because you just end up fucking just cutting in the worst shit. Anyway, we're
You can take
back.
everything they do out of context. So.
We're back. This is this week's episode. We're joined by comedian Daniel Sloss, live from quarantine, mate. How's it
All
going,
right,
man?
mate.
You're literally the only other like sort of non basically you're the only other comic in Australia currently who's not doesn't live here. It's basically I was the last one who came in. Well, I'm sort of technically because of my wife and child. I am a sort of a proxy citizen, but you are one of the only people who's just here. Russell Howard was here last month, and now you're here, mate. It's a couple of couple of white
We've
blokes
managed.
allowed in for some reason.
Well, I mean, we know why it is. It's because when I come to this country, I can offer more tax to the Australian government than any of those dirty, dirty backpackers they're trying to
I
let back
mean,
in.
totally. They literally got they've got such a backlog of backpackers who managed to blag it by staying here last year that fucking they just want to ship in some,
In the
successful
same
guys.
pants.
I also feel like, because I don't feel like I'm in a position at all to complain about quarantine,
No,
specifically because
absolutely not.
you you've done a much worse one. Like it, me complaining about my quarantine compared to yours, which
your
I just feel like
on and your low and your yeah. solo time.
Yeah, yeah, my Xbox and my balcony, which I'm allowed on. Like, I'm complaining about what it's like to be, like on the back lines, whereas you were in D-Day, like, you properly did it. And I'm like, God, basic training's rough, lads.
Where are you? You're in Melbourne quarantining.
Sydney.
Oh, you're in Sydney. That's why you've got a balcony, because you know Melbourne, there's no balconies. They've got a weird, Melbourne quarantine is the strictest in Australia. Like, because we did it in Brisbane, and we
removed all the balconies because of COVID. Yeah.
They put bars on the windows, and they've got armed guards wandering the halls,
cutting off all the balconies.
But no,
I couldn't believe when they gave me a balcony because,
so lucky.
Yeah, because I phoned up and I said, look, like if there's an upgrade available, I'll take it. And they're like, are you claustrophobic? And I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you. No.
I would absolutely have lied to them. I am going to lie to you. Yes.
I have to have a roof garden or I get panicky. Yeah. I get a bit angsty without a roof pole. I start hyperventilating.
So I just went, look, I've looked outside. I know you've got the upgrade there. If you've got that, I'll take it. But because I'm just so, I've got such a fear of breaking the rules a lot of the time. I get to my new room. They've got the balcony. And the first thing I do is phone reception. I'm like, there's a balcony there. I'm allowed to use that, right? And they're like, yeah, of course. Like, why else would we give you a room with
imagine
a balcony?
They said no. No, it's there, but you're not allowed outside it. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I somehow will enforce that.
A SWAT team just start crawling along the hotel corridors.
We've got a sniper on the opposite building. If you do open it,
night vision on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that does, because my logic was, because my fiance was like, do you have a balcony? And I was mugging her off. She was texting me being like, ask for a room with a balcony. I'm like, oh really? During quarantine, I can spit on the public. Like,
I'm on the front line, honey. Writing letters home and stuff.
So they're like, yeah, you can use the balcony, you can go out there. And then I go out in the balcony and there's an ashtray. Now I haven't smoked cigarettes in 3 years, right? But everyone smokes in prison. So I phone reception again, and I'm like, there's an ashtray out here. Am I allowed to
roll
smoke?
The butts up? Could someone send a little Rizzler up, please?
Well, if I could ask, and she genuinely says, she goes, well, no, but who's going to stop you?
Yeah,
you're totally on a COVID floor.
So
I've smoked 3 packs in a week.
Fuck. How have you get, what, so you're asking, what are you ordering them in from where? Where are you getting them?
Yeah, yes.
You're shanking your next door neighbour for them. Trading them for fucking blowjobs through the wall.
They smuggle them
in. Protecting
like
everyone in the other cells. Things can get pretty messy.
I made a couple of bets on how long it would take before the new fish started crying, and I won 7 packs. So it's been great.
What's the food?
I've just had people literally drop them in.
Oh, this is the thing. Did you know this about Melbourne as well? This is why I was saying that Sydney and Brisbane and all that. In Melbourne, you're not allowed deliveries from friends and family. So that's why, because we were meant to be doing quarantine in Melbourne.
Like a cake with a little file in it or something.
because we ended up doing it in Brisbane, on day one, we had a friend drop off a suitcase with just supplies. And there was gin in it. It was a saving grace. But in Melbourne, I don't know if they've changed it yet, but you're not allowed personal deliveries from friends and family. So if you're in Melbourne, it's really strict. No booze. A lot of the hotels, like, it's really different to what we went through. You know, we just did it, but we had a baby, but we got given 2 rooms adjoining through a door. So we just like popped that open and had like a basically apartment. So it was, we had, it
right,
was
just fine. just gave your baby a room to herself. Be like, yeah, we'll see you at the end of it.
We shut it and we're like, we ain't got
14 days here. Let's synchronize our watches.
So it was fine. Man, it was absolutely fine.
It's the opposite here. So I've had, like, I'd heard all those rumors about you can't, like, there's this limit to this and you can't have these deliveries and whatnot. But then on day one, my agent's over here, like, they dropped off a care package, like two bottles of wine, like some cereal, a plate, like knives and forks.
A plate and knife and fork is actually crucial. We brought our own just because we'd heard about that.
Man, it makes you feel more human. Otherwise, it's just fucking airplane food for three meals a day.
Absolutely.
But then, like, because I've been so bored, I've been standing out in the balcony every day and I've just filmed,
just
like,
screaming into the wind.
Yeah.
Why? Freedom!
They just keep phoning and being like, sir, this is not why you have a balcony. Sir, we'll take away the balcony.
Just wanking off onto King's Cross High Street.
So I've had some lovely fans be able to work out where I am.
Oh,
so
really?
I've had, man, I have had like four deliveries a day.
That's
from
quality.
Just like, oh, and it is. It makes my fucking day. I mean, it's very awkward sometimes because sometimes they drop off shit that you don't like and you've got to be like, oh, thanks so much for this.
Right in the toilet.
Yeah. But it's weird stuff. Like, I don't like donuts. I've never liked donuts. I think they're just such a fucking, I've just never been into them. And somebody dropped off like a 12 pack of donuts, which I'm sure to anyone else in quarantine, greatest treat in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, the best thing I can, well, I stacked five of them together and fucked them.
Down the road past them. Creating a new game, see if I can hit a building the other side of the road.
See if I can knock someone down.
So knock someone off a fucking electric scooter on the street.
Well, that is the best. You just see, like, there's the promised land out there. You get to see everyone just there.
So where are you in Sydney? You don't want to say, I suppose. That was a stupid question, was it?
I'm near Hyde Park, and if you can work it out from there, feel free to send me things.
You're not on the Hilton on Pitt Street, are you?
No.
Have you had any fans? Have you been out on the balcony yet and had any fans on the street? Like,
yes,
have found you and spotted you? Any laser pointers trying to do your eyes in?
Just trying to make me crash the plane. I went out on the first day, right? And like day one, I was like, and I filmed across the park and I said, look, every day at 2 p.m., if you can work out where this is, I'll come out and I'll fucking wave, right? And it's been great. So every single day for like 9 days, there's been people out there. It's only like three or four.
It's
nice for 2 minutes, right? Because you walk out there, you
once
wave,
you come, you just want them gone. You know what I mean? Just want to lay down for a little while, watch some films, man.
Yeah. And especially at that distance, it can't be construed as sexual harassment.
Yeah,
that is so far away
totally.
That there's no way it's my fault.
That's my loophole.
But you go out and you wave, and then after 2 minutes, they're still fucking there, and you can't talk to them.
No,
like,
of course.
They're there. So you're like, at one point they'll start doing the YMCA and I'm like, all right, okay, I can do that.
You just
gotta
keep and then waving like the Queen on a fucking
Michael Jackson.
So today was like the first day when I went out and I was like, I can't, like, it got to 5 to 2. And I was like, I just can't be. And thankfully there was nobody there today. I just got to go out, have a fucking cigarette and jerk off in peace.
Yeah, exactly. What's the food like? Are you doing Uber Eats and all that, or are you actually trying the hotel food?
I am trying the hotel food, but like the only time the hotel food has been bad is because I am a picky ass fucking eater,
right,
man. I've got the
palate
of like a 9-year-old child. Like, most of the meals here are genuinely good, but there's like, they'll just send up like, here's braised salmon with a fucking whatever jus, and I'm like, fucking what? Like, just potato smileys and a couple of fish fingers in a sandwich, man. Like, that's why.
Alphabet spaghetti.
Well,
I would love
our one. The food was like, It was almost like it lured us into a false sense of security. The first week was great. And then the second week was the same food each day than we had the week before, but a really bad version of it. So it was like the first week, I was like, I can't believe how good this food is, man. And the next week it was like, oh, it's the same thing as that. That was really nice. And they'd made it worse. So it was like a real, like, yeah. It's almost like it was like a challenge, like the second week you had to not lose faith. Like, and it was, but I was still surprised compared to what I expected. I thought it was going to be really shit food. Like, I'm talking, you know, I'd heard some horror stories online about people that had essentially like a microwave meal every day, three times a day. So
Welcome to my world. and I can go out. That's what I go out and buy.
You're like, oh, a steak dinner, laddie ja, from Julian. Sorry, obviously not a steak dinner. I forget what fucking podcast I'm on. Sorry.
But yeah, so you're out on Wednesday though, right?
Yeah. So,
hang on, you're doing Melbourne next week or the week after?
Next week, yeah. So it's I get out on, we thought I was getting out on Thursday. So on Thursday, I fly to Melbourne and I'm there doing the project and then doing the Comedy Republic. And then on the Friday, I'm off to, I think it's fucking Adelaide. And then I think it's Brizzy and then I'm back to Melbourne. Right. But clearly my agent thought that like the 14 day was like 14 plus a half.
Yeah, no, because I phoned up and they shave it down. We did it. We had the same
thing. They shave it down.
It's amazing. So we were like, oh, it'll be, we got out a day earlier than we expected. It's great.
And it's,
don't you get half for like good behavior or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've been masturbating on the balcony.
He's just been given an extra 3 months.
Been put in solitary.
So it's like, so I phoned up and I was like, when do I get out? And they were like, you actually get out Wednesday. And I'm like, this is brilliant. Like, yeah. It's literally about 24 hours earlier than I thought I was going to get out. But obviously, I don't have a fucking hotel booked for that day. Thankfully, one of my best friends lives in Sydney. Well, that's what my agent said. She's like, we can just book you into the hotel. I'm like, once I'm out of this hotel, I am never staying at this hotel
ever
again.
You'd rather sleep in the
park. And it's a nice hotel.
On a bench that night than fucking stay in that hotel again.
So what are you going to do first? What have you been missing? What do you think when you get released?
Man, genuinely one of the things that I never thought I'd fucking miss is like just human contact, man. Like genuine face-to-face. I've never realised how fucking...
Although you still can't do that though, can you?
Yeah, you can
in Australia.
Mate, honestly, this
full
is freedom. You'll be blown away, I think, by... You might not. Obviously, you know people like here and how they've told you about it, but it's still coming from the UK. When you actually feel it and witness it, it's still a bit overwhelming. I feel like we got out of quarantine. The morning we got out of quarantine, our friend who dropped off a care package, she was waiting outside the hotel just to say hello before we went to the airport to fly to Melbourne. And Hannah was behind me. She was just sort of sorting out something. And I walked out of the hotel on my own with some bags and our friend was there and she just came up and gave me this massive hug. And it was this weird feeling of like, oh, I've not hugged anyone in months. It was genuinely like a real thing.
Just get welled up. Just all choked up.
And it was like, and then we flew to Melbourne and then suddenly we saw Hannah's parents and family. And that 2 days later, like I went and did Comedy Republic actually. And just seeing mates and friends, and it was properly like, I didn't realize how fucking mental it is, what we've gone through. And, you know, the fact that the UK is still mostly just coming out of it now, but, you know, coming here and just how normal it is really caught me off guard. First time I walked down Swanston Street in Melbourne, and it was packed. Normal people going to work, people going to shops was a bit
like the worst thing is
George in the jungle just walking around, just like
just start swinging, sniffing car wheels.
But it is
the worst thing about it is
pajamas.
You don't want You never want the fucking Aussies to have bragging rights about anything. Like, I look, I love the cunts out here, but like the smugness they have about how they've handled, which to be fair, they have nailed it. But from yes. such a, prior to this, such a second world country to now have such bragging yeah. rights is devastating.
What I will say, I've been really surprised with, obviously there's a bit of a we did it well here thing, but I've been surprised with the sympathy that I've been met with
yeah.
whenever I chat to people about sort of, you know, people are saying, oh, when did you get out? And I say, oh, we didn't end up coming out until February. And people genuinely go like, fuck man, I've heard it must have been brutal. Like, they genuinely talk to you like you got out of a POW camp or something.
Even
in Melbourne though, because I've heard a lot of them being like, oh man, we had to do fucking 4 months here. Like, oh, fucking did you cunt? Was that rough for you? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, when like we had to do four lockdowns or some bullshit, innit? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I genuinely have been surprised at the festival of how many people have had sympathy for what we went through in the UK. Because, they went through it hardcore here, but they did it in one block. They didn't have the fucking constant, oh, let's open things, we'll be fine. And then next thing, we're going back to prison. Okay. So it's, but yeah, it's so mental when you get here and everything's normal and you just go for coffee and go for brunch. Go on the beach.
I just miss punching random cunts, man. That's been the big thing for me. I miss getting into that. Random fights.
I've just been spitting in people's faces on trams. Just doing all my normal shit. Just getting back to normality, man. I just miss that stuff.
It's been so long since getting I've in done people's a good, faces honest at bus stop.
Yeah, man. Headbutting people, saying, what are you looking at? Everywhere I go.
you got fucking eye problems.
Why don't you take a photo, mate? It fucking lasts long. I just want to get back to normality, guys.
I just want to be drunk and Larry in public again. I want Kai to get me out of a fight. That's what I miss.
just fucking saying rude shit to hipsters in pubs. All right, mate, your shoes had a fight with your trousers. What the fuck's wrong with you, cunt?
What, you're waiting for a flood, you fucking pussy? Get out of my way. Yeah, bottle of JD there, sir.
No, it's just nature's returning, is what I'm saying. It's so nice. Just I tell you, like you, and when you get to like Comedy Republic, you'll realise it's a really amazing new club for anyone who's listening in Melbourne. It was meant to open last year, obviously what happened, but they've got a really cool bar, and it's that was the first place I had a social beer, so it was like. Did a gig afterwards. I sat there with a few like comics I'd not seen in it's probably 2 years now, and we just had a drink. And I was so giddy with excitement to be doing a normal social thing. Oh, it's like, yeah, you just don't realize how much you missed it until you do it. I think.
Was it how was it with the wife and the kid there? Was it easier? Was it more sort of difficult?
In what? Quarantine.
Well, just in the sense, quarantine. Sorry, yeah, quarantine.
Oh, quarantine.
Sorry.
Was quarantine. Actually, to be honest,
just had a divorce online on the last day.
We had two rooms, so we just separated on day two.
A solicitor came up in a mask, in a Hamza suit.
We just passed the baby over the balcony each day, just we took the custody.
Jackson method.
Yeah. No, it was fine. To be honest, having come from lockdown, it was fine. Like if you went from normal freedom to 2 weeks in a hotel room, you'd be livid. But if you go from a proper lockdown for 3 or 4 months to a hotel room, it's like, well, we're just now not allowed to walk around a garden or go down the fucking park. It was totally fine. And also the knowledge of what's at the end of it, that was the thing, that to know that at the end of
the end of the tunnel
and go for lunch is just, that's all that mattered, man. I was absolutely flew through it. Just watched dog shit telly. Have you watched The Chase, the Australian Chase?
No.
Oh man, because I've got a weird soft spot for The Chase.
Who's their Paul Sinner?
So they've got two of the British chasers. They've got the Beast and the Dark Destroyer. Oh no, not the Dark Destroyer. They've got who's the sort of big butch lady? The governess, right? So you've got the governess and they've got the Beast. but then they've got three Australian chains.
The Beast is a fucking bold name. I can't believe the Beast, like nobody went, mate, we can't.
The Dark Destroyer is the one. Dark Destroyer is the sort of tall black guy, and his nickname is the Dark Destroyer. It's like, go on, it's mate, like, it's 2021, thank you.
Yeah, it was like he was named by the guys who named the Gladiators back in 1995.
Shadow. He's
like,
okay.
Yeah. Wolf
Nightshade. Literally the most racist name.
The Abyss.
The black guy.
The big black guy.
Black Tony. Right. You get the point.
It's amazing that was only like not you know, it was only 20 years ago or something. That it feels like that should have been way longer ago. But yeah, the Dark Destroyer.
Might have been their real names.
Do you know the Dark Destroyer came out recently, actually, because there was some criticism of his nickname, and he actually came out and said, no, this is a name that I've chosen, it's mine. He very much took ownership of it. But the Australian Chasers are dog shit. Do you know, I don't know if you like, genuinely, they don't have a sort of quiz culture here like Britain, where we've got pub quizzes in every fucking pub every Wednesday night. Yeah. So
they're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, they genuinely, one of the quizzes, he was dumb as shit. Like, he wouldn't even be, he'd be a bad contestant on the chase in the UK. And he's like sitting
trivial
at the top
pursuits.
Of the thing. Some of the questions are so easy. Like, they're like sort of novelty questions. You can see.
Is his nickname just like the Shrugger? Just every,
his name is the Div. The dumb cunt.
The airhead.
But they
thick,
honestly,
Paul.
You need to watch it, because I was so shocked the first time in quarantine. I watched it every day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the British chase is on, and then at 5 o'clock the Australian chase. And the drop off of difficulty of questions is so stark. Yeah. It is like, it makes you realise that we think in the UK, I think we all think people in the UK, the general level of intelligence is quite low. I think we assume that because we tour around and we meet the members of the public. But it turns out the Australian general sort of knowledge is a whole different world of low. You know what I mean? They are not a clever bunch, man.
Let's just say, look, the Australians are very, very lucky America exists.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's the only fucking reason that they do not get the ire from the rest of the world.
Totally. It's
like Australia just gets to sit there and just be this fucking like backwards country that's got about 9 liberal people in it. Like, this is a country that literally changed the definition of the word liberal for their right wing party, and everyone was like, "Well, I mean, I guess this is fine."
Yeah, yeah.
But thankfully, America's just there being bigger and louder, and nobody realizes how.
I do think it's that. I think it's a visibility thing. Like, Australia keeps himself to himself on a global stage because they're small. So I don't think you ever really hear much from them in the Northern Hemisphere, whereas America, you can't help but constantly hear about how dumb they are.
But are they quite patriotic people, would you say? Like
Australia?
Aussies?
I don't know. I reckon in terms of sport...
They are
I'm technically they are Australian, by the way, but like...
How technically?
Well, I'm Australian.
You say every time.
I was born in Melbourne, but I grew up in London.
Yeah.
I was thinking, should we apologise to Australian listeners?
No, they'll be fine.
No, okay.
Yeah, because that's a good thing about the Aussies, is like they can absolutely take a fucking breath.
Yeah, yeah,
like, you never,
they love it.
Because you never have to apologise.
Because Americans would be like, Americans would get the right arm, I bet, wouldn't they?
No. We would have been doxxed right now had that been about America. Like, there would have been some like COVID friendly assassin turning up to my door.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I wouldn't say the Australians are particularly patriotic. Sense of, I'd say they're very patriotic in sporting terms, but in terms of actual like that patriotism of like we're the best, you don't meet any Australians who think like that, because
I'm not patriotic at all. Like,
I'm not
never
either.
Felt that to,
but also,
to England or like anywhere.
But because Australia's only, you know, in terms of global sort of interference. They don't really get involved in much today. They tend to tag along. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Whenever there's a war where like sort of Western countries get involved, Australia tag along like the little fat guy at the back of a bully group who's like sort of they're there, but they're just sort of saying,
yeah,
some
get
shit.
Him, Tony, get him, Tony.
Yeah.
Because they just haven't got the numbers, you know what I mean? So, like, actually, I don't think they've ever developed
like the
that
little fat
ego.
One in the T-Birds.
But they,
the little,
you know,
45-year-old.
I think to have
they
that
do
ego...
get patriotic about weird stuff about their personality. They're always like, oh, mate, we're just so fucking laid back here. And yeah, you're like, is that why your government rolled over you so easily? Is that why, like, they're able to... Is that why your government's able to just tell you to stop drinking at 10 p.m. and all of you go... Yeah, okay, yeah. We're laid back people. We'll just accept that on the fucking chin there.
Well, do you know the compliance rates during COVID were like through the roof? You know, like in the UK, they reckon compliance rates are actually in the 40th percentile. And here in Australia, they reckon they're in the 80th percentile. And that is, they genuinely were like, we'll stick to the rules, we'll get through it, and we'll sort everything out. And then in Britain, obviously, we were like, yeah, we'll do that. And then we just didn't do it. We just all had barbecues. It's a very different culture, isn't it? I think the British, we're, you know, and I say
British.
Well,
thankfully, there was no consequences to our actions. There's no proof of how either of those turned out. There's no way we can know who did better.
You know,
it's all up. Maybe in 20 years, we'll know.
Let's not judge it too harshly.
Anyway, I'll be touring Australia next week, and I'm very.
And I'll be back in the UK in 2025 once they get a new population and make up all the dead people.
Lockdown. It's a whole new set of people when you come back. Just really young.
Just shit them all in from third world
countries. Prime Minister's 11. All the police walking around, they're all kids. Like, it's just like Bugsy Malone.
I think here, I do think there's something to be said for a middle ground. I like, there's something about the British, I like the cynicism about what the government are doing. I think it should always be like, I think, all right, I trust that they're, you know, some of them are trying their best, but ultimately some of them are cunts who are out to do what they want to do. But here there was a very much, let's support what our leaders are doing. Obviously here it worked out, but I do, yeah, some part of me just thinks you need to slightly distrust your leaders.
Aye. Well, they do. They claim they do. And then, you know, they're like, we don't trust our government. We're kind of fucking against them. And then they do keep getting it. Whereas at least in Britain, like, as much as we're the libtard cucks on the left here, but we know what our country is. We know what, you know, every time there's a general election, you just go, oh, okay, so it's 63% is the problem.
Well, yeah, I think people always, that's what I always find fascinating about left-wing comedians. I say that as somebody who's, I'm left-wing, 100, like, every opinion I would have would be left-wing. But in terms of like voting, I've voted Labour my whole life, but I also absolutely always know that it's going to be a Conservative government because we live in a fucking Conservative
country. Because that's who you
country.
Vote for secretly.
That's what, I mean, that's what I don't vote
that's
for.
That's what you campaign
that's
for.
That's what I campaign for. I do all my leafleting on the doorstep. I'm out for the 3 months before the general election just saying, you know, give your vote to the Conservatives. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not voting for myself. But I
I'm not a mug, but you are, so here's a leaflet. So
no, I just don't understand when people are shocked when the Conservatives win an election in the UK, when literally we live in a Conservative country like the UK. Obviously Scotland I think is a bit of a outlier, and there is definitely more of a left-wing swing in Scotland, but England is a fucking, it's full of proper conservative people. For 100 years there's been one real left-wing government in 100 years. Why would anyone expect you're suddenly going to get Jeremy Corbyn in to be like, oh, let's fix everything and make it nice?
That was the fucking mad thing. Like, it just that all the Corbyn supporters didn't get, like, none of us were saying that Corbyn wasn't a fucking great bloke. Like, he was great. He was a fucking sweetheart. He was never under any. He'd be class. He'd be munching the carrots. He'd be like, oh, these are the sweeter than the ones you get up north. He'd be great to hang around with. Like, He'd turn up to the farmer's market with his own hummus and it'd be so class and his wife would be lovely. He was never going to win an election any fucking circumstance.
Yeah, because I think anyone who genuinely thought Jeremy Corbyn had a chance to win an election forgets that every leader of the UK in the last, I don't know, in memory, it has been a total cunt. It's like, we don't really vote for cunts. We're not going to vote for a bloke who looks like he does his own gardening and is like sort of nice and is going to give change to a homeless person. We vote for people that look like they're going to fucking just ruin everything and like sort of invade the Middle East.
Jeremy Corbyn's the type of bloke that if at school you kicked a ball over into his garden, like he gave you a key to the garden door. He says, lads, whenever it happens, just come back in. Just hop over the fence. You know what?
And then sit in the garden naked when it goes over. And then as you go in, he locks the other lock.
Whereas everyone we've ever voted for has just been that kind of like you get into the garden and they've popped the ball immediately.
Yeah.
It goes into their garden and you put your head over and go, can you have my ball there? And they go, yeah, of course. They turn it and then they boot it over the other side. You fucking lump it over into about five gardens down. Yeah, there it is, you fucking little shit. Just walk off. I always find it so funny how British people don't realise how selfish British people are. If you live amongst them, how can you not work out that that's what we're all about, mate? We're not, especially
London, I'd say, wouldn't you? Like, it's just...
Ironically, London is like, obviously always votes Labour, isn't it? Because it's diverse. It's got the gift of diversity. Whereas, you know, you go up north and they are not blessed with that option. They tend to be a little bit more, you know. So, yeah, I just think I'm always surprised when it's sort of left-wing people are surprised that Britain hasn't
They seem more
in.
Friendly up north, though, don't they? But that might be because I'm white. I've never... No, they're all really lovely at this Klan rally. No, they're nice guys. They're all right.
They let me join in with all the songs. I didn't know the words, but they taught me them.
They're really nice to me. You walk around with your swastika tattoo out. It's weird how friendly they are to me, actually.
Yeah, it turns out I will never walk alone. It's amazing.
I don't know. Anyway, but out here is, I do think here is, you know, people are much nicer on the, you know, in general. I just think everyone is a bit more laid back, a bit nicer.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, that's why they stuck to the rules a bit more than the UK, where we all just were feral and just got COVID.
Oh yeah, like every time like I complain about the fact that, you know, I'm like, oh man, people in the UK don't obey any of the rules, and people go, did you obey the rules? And I'm like, well, I mean, no, obviously not, but like the rest of them,
I'm not a fucking idiot.
Not when my neighbors were having a garden party, but oh boy, had they not done it, then maybe I would have stayed in line.
It's like that Nate Bargatze comic was saying, it's like people are out trying to get COVID. like the way they're behaving, it's like they're trying to get it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, here, honestly, though, here is very extreme. There was a case in Brisbane, what was it, last week? Yeah, it was about 5 days ago. Mm. There was one case. Yes. They announced one.
And they shot the guy. Shot him in the head. They like literally
put a net over his head and just dragged him
on the news. 6 p.m. news. They opened with it.
Yeah, it was live.
Crime time. They interrupted the Teletubbies.
But they were good. They made sure that they aimed it, like they shot his head like away from the crowd, so that none of it got on then. Like it was still within regulations.
It was very socially distanced. Not only did they just go into a 3-day lockdown instantly, one case, boom. And I tell you, it actually ended up being quite funny. It ended up being a few cases because it was a nurse who went on a hen do, and a male stripper did the hen do, and he got it off them. So this male stripper just like flapping his dick around catches COVID, and then there's like a nation, like, you know, a statewide lockdown.
He should have worn a little mask on his dick or something.
Yes. It's called a condom, Julian. It's called a condom.
what's this cone domes you speak of?
The man with five kids is not hearing what you're saying, mate.
I thought they were for gloves. Not really.
The old water balloons you used to carry in your wallet.
Just in case any water fight came up. You never know. You never know.
Loaded.
I've got some strawberry ones, you little bastards.
But they shut, obviously, Brisbane, they went into a lockdown in Queensland, shut the border very briefly. But even anyone in Victoria, I don't know what it was like in New South Wales, but in Victoria, anyone who'd come from Brisbane in the last 2 weeks had to self-isolate instantly and then go and get a test the morning after. Like, that's how here it is, so strict of like one person coughs in fucking Darwin. And
they
suddenly
just get on their knees and beheaded like an ISIS video. Someone screaming out the COVID rules behind them.
Just a big list like the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. It is like military precision. Like, so when I was the plane that I was on was a fucking double decker 747 thing, and there were at most 40 to 50 people on it. Like, there is entire
what airline
rows
did you fly
with? Singapore Air.
Okay, yeah. And
so we had also.
Go on, sorry.
Oh, so they made us normally when obviously fly to Australia that you get off in Singapore. And then they do that stupid fucking thing. We go, get off the plane and then walk around the airport and then get back on the plane, please. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this fucking charade for no reason. They were like, you have to stay on the plane while in Singapore. And I'm like, great. By the way, can we take this forward from now on? Yeah. Like, at no point halfway through a fucking flight to Australia do I go, man, I miss security. I fucking miss standing
I miss security
in
and I miss spending 2 hours walking around and getting a £9 smoothie. That's all you ever do. It's fun. Honestly, that is that's a touch actually, because it was it's Singapore is a good, because we came via Qatar, we came via Doha, which has now been put on the red list. So technically,
you can't even go into it. You land in there and you're not allowed to fly out, which is
so it's very strange.
Insane.
I don't know what our plans going back to the UK are, because I think we can't fly back anymore. I think I live here now. But the plane, we had a very quiet first leg on the plane. Second leg, there was some delays and cancellations. So I think they just loaded everyone onto our plane and it was going on to Auckland. So it felt a bit like this is a COVID hotspot, mate. Everyone's going to have it. So it was worrying.
Just phoning from the airplane phone, being like, "Mom, can you record the news? Because I'm definitely going to be on it." Yeah. I'm on super spreader flight 976. It's going to be a doozy.
We had a very lucky escape. 2 days, like our flight, the exact same time, but 2 days before was the one that caused a mini outbreak in Brisbane, and caused a whole hotel quarantine to get they got given 5 days extra, but they got told they were having to stay 5 days extra 4 hours before leaving. That is...
Oh, my God.
And they weren't even told by a phone call. So everyone, they were all packed up, ready to leave, waiting for the police to escort them out. And then they got a letter under the door saying, sorry, you've got to stay for 5 more days. How fucking hard would that be?
Pack your bag.
Oh, fucking hell,
because I don't know. Yeah,
man.
You don't know that. So when you get escorted out by the police, that's one thing, like... It's so weird. Like you get a knock at the door. They call you and they work out your time you're leaving, and then you'll get a knock at the door and it'll be like two police officers and if your trolley if you want to use a trolley for the bag, and they walk you down to like reception. It's real, like it feels
well. That was
weird.
That was the upgrade. So when I got into
one of them, hold your hard drive in his hand.
Like, this is COVID,
and a
right?
marijuana
this
plant. Is...
Puts a towel over your head.
When I got to the standards room, like I phoned up reception, was like, I have the upgrade, and they're like, you have to clear it with the police. Like the police have to give you the upgrade because they have to escort you to your new room because they don't trust you to not You know, she phoned the police officer, and that's why I couldn't lie to them. I'll happily lie to a receptionist, Carl,
but
I will not lie to a man of the law unless he obviously catches me doing drugs or having drugs or driving drunk or any of those other things. But like normally,
or any crimes.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's one of them things where I don't think you realize. Because everything in the last year has happened so gradually that you don't realise how mental it is, some of the stuff you're going through. That quarantine,
it's become so normal.
Totally. Like, after the last year, quarantine, if somebody said to me a year ago, you're going to spend 2 weeks in a hotel, basically locked in your room, and if you leave, the police will arrest you, I would have thought that's a buggy.
There's a guy at a bat in Wuhan. It's like, what? Your nan's dead and you can't hug anyone.
It's fucked. But then what's the, because the UK is, what's the latest, like, things have opened up a bit, gyms are open, aren't they?
No, not yet. Outside pools are open, gyms are opening on the 12th.
They opened the outside pools as a joke. Like, it's between the ministers. They were all laughing their asses. It's
cold as
like,
shit. Yeah, let's open the Lidos.
Let's open the River Thames. Let's open the sky and pretend it's something that we've done.
What's next on the roadmap?
April 12th is gyms. I don't know what else, but leisure.
When the pubs, like pub beer gardens, open soon, don't they?
It must be then. Actually, it must be then.
Because gardens are open now, aren't they? You can have like gatherings of six again in the garden.
You can go in your own garden. It's such they're so kind, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. You can go and tell your dog can shit in the garden now.
Put them on the carpet.
You can throw your bins out.
Scotland's behind 2 weeks on everything. So,
they've been doing that for
hours. Yeah. Nicola Sturgeon's tactic for quarantine is like, what did Boris Johnson do? Right. Let's see what happens. And then we'll probably do the opposite of it. But with that, it does come fucking immense jealousy. Like, I remember when we started opening up in the UK in June, like, Scotland was fully closed, but I had those fucking driving gigs in London. And that was that weekend where London was just like, COVID is a thing of the past. Let's all go out.
It's carnage.
Oh, in the taxi back from King's Cross to Kai's place in Bethnal Green, it's that Nate Bargatze joke. You're like, oh, nobody's aware there's a pandemic. No. Like, people have immediately just decided it's time to fucking lick toes. It's time to swallow fucking tongues. We're rimming homeless cunts because it's been a while for them to have any fucking joy. And then 3 weeks later, we're like, what do you mean we ruined it? Who did it? Who's responsible?
And don't get me wrong, I do think the government have to ultimately be the ones that answer for, they made the rules. But we did all definitely continue. Yeah, we still played our part. I don't think we should forget that, you know, when we were
But that's why they did it,
in
man.
August.
Like, I'm sorry to put on my fucking Canadian comedian conspiracy fucking hat here. I don't know what it is about Canadians comedians, but every last one of them has lost their fucking mind during this. Like, I do not know a Canadian that has survived it. But, like, the government, like, it's the responsibilities on them. They gave us this freedom because they knew we'd fuck it up. So they could blame it on us. Because they fucked it up early on.
I suppose, yeah, there is that thing of like, yeah, the opposite would be them having to actually manage it correctly.
Oh, look what you did. And you're like, yeah, but you let us do the, like, if a dog shits on the carpet, like, if a pup, not a dog, if a puppy shits on the carpet, the responsibility is on you because you didn't train the puppy to not shit on the fucking carpet. Like, you can't scream in. The government's doing that thing that we all know you can't train dogs with, which is it's rubbing our face in the piss. And we're fucking said, this carpet felt like grass. I didn't know. I'm 6 months old.
Yeah. I think that's, but there's a thing of like thinking that's very different saying like the government sort of knew that this is probably going to go wrong, but at least we can always pass the buck. But to the sort of the comedians you refer to who are like, it's a plandemic, mate, and it's the lamestream media.
Yeah. Man, it's so weird to think that the country that legalized marijuana first has produced the most paranoid comedians in the fucking world.
It's like weed has an adverse effect on your mental health. I'm fascinated by that. Like, you know, like here actually there's less of it. I thought, you know, I've known some Australian comedians in the past that have been a bit conspiratorial, but actually this last year, most Australians have sort of gone, I think maybe they've not had the craziness of the UK. It has been a bit more lockdown.
That's because the Australian government killed the conspiracy theorists. That's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they got rid of them. That's why there's none of them left. That's you gotta think outside the box, mate. They're all done. I'll never forget the amount of times I've spent with Steve Hughes, who's an amazing comedian, but the amount of times he will smoke 20 cigarettes in front of me and tell me the government's trying to kill him. Like, the government, yeah? He's like, fucking chemtrails. You're like, 20 a day, Stephen. 20 a day. It's not chemtrails,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah.
The first time I ever met Steve Hughes, who, by the way, for anyone listening, if they don't know, he's an exceptional stand-up comedian. Like, there's videos of Steve from the first ever series of like Live at the Apollo, or like what is it, McIntyre's Roadshow or something.
He's
got amazing clips online of how good a stand-up he is. Or I haven't seen him for a few years, but how great a stand-up he was when I last saw him. And but I remember being really new to comedy. I was like proper, you know, it was when I first started doing like support spots on paid gigs. And I was doing an Avalon gig at Durham University, and I was doing the opening 20, and Steve was closing. And basically, I drove all the way to Durham from London, and we got put up in the halls, Durham University halls, and I got there, and Steve was like, sort of met him, and he's just this mad Australian, like sort of quite eccentric rocker sort of type. And then he was like, fuck, man, these fucking halls. I don't want to stay in these fucking halls. And I was like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. And I didn't give a shit, really. And then we did the gig, and we had a couple of beers. I actually probably shouldn't have driven post-gig, because I probably was sniffing around the older, you know, the being over the limit. But like at the end of the gig, he was like, fuck this, man, should we get out of here? And I was like, yeah, what do you mean get out of here? We're staying in the halls. And he goes, you want to go stay at my friend's house? And I was like, where is it? He went, Newcastle. And I was like, okay. I was just an open spot. It was a fucking bit giddy. He goes, yeah, let's go. We drove to Newcastle and stayed at a guy called Anvil Springsteen's house. Did you ever meet Anvil Springsteen?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
so
I know
I'm just
exactly
this open spot driving. Steve Hughes is in my passenger seat going on about like crazy conspiracy stuff. It's really fun. And we're just like, we got to Anvil Springsteen's, get there. He gets those weed out, beers. I'm just sitting there just like, this is amazing. And within about 10 minutes, then it was like sort of, the moment we got onto like 9/11 was an inside job. I was like, I kind of wish I was staying at the halls, actually. I was just sitting there listening to like, oh no. But it was great fun. And we just sat up all night chatting shit. But yeah, I've not seen Steve in years. He was, he was so good, wasn't he? And then he had a bit of a mental sort of, breakdown to us. So he's talked about it, but yeah, and I think he's back doing stand-up now, which is good.
He is back. I think he was also in a pretty fucking serious car accident that fucked him up a bit, but he's back on his feet now. I saw him last year at a sort of agency dinner, and he was in good fucking spirits. Yes. I mean, he still had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth in both ears, but like he was good to see.
Funny man. But yeah, there's a lot of like that generation of comic now. It's almost like that. If they didn't become superstars, they've now gone fucking mental. There's no middle ground, isn't it?
I think that's a warning to all of us. Like we've got to, you know,
I would literally bet everything I own on Julian being an absolute nutter in 5 years. just nodding, just really stopped,
he's just staring,
nodding along. Julian will be he'll be on the news having mown 25 people down on Oxford Street in his car.
if I carried on smoking weed, I reckon I probably would.
All of us would. I genuinely think I'd be the same. If I you know, I'd think if I'd have carried on certain paths of my earlier career, I would be a fucking nightmare now.
Well, we were Julian, you were saying before, just the start, because I'm trying to drastically reduce my marijuana consumption because it's gone through the fucking roof during this pandemic. Because it's so easy to not smoke weed when the world exists, because you can distract yourself with everything else. But when you're just, you know, fucking doing the same thing every day, same nothing every day, you go, this will just be better high. This will just be
easier to slow down once it all opens up, wouldn't it? Definitely.
I just
let myself go at it while you're in quarantine, eh? Fuck it.
But what if I then come out like all those fucking Canadian comics, and then, because the point is, you never know when you're the psycho. You never know when you're mental.
You're the last to find out.
Yeah, like even if the Canadian comedians we know we're talking about listen to this podcast, they're gonna be like, oh, they're talking about the other guy. Like,
no, it's you.
I always think
Australian comedians all smoke weed. Like, it's really common here. Like, I think
comedians smoking weed is more fucking bush weed, man.
Right? Yeah. They love it.
Yeah, but Australian weed is fucking like, I mean, that was strong in 1923, and it's not upgraded since
like
then.
All drugs here are so weak because it's so far away. And it's hard to get them.
$600 for a fucking bag of gear. Like, and it's not even gear, it's speed.
I've had a few sort of, you know, experiences on various forms of different class A drugs in Australia in my time. I've had one good experience on. I've had one just pure lottery win in Adelaide years ago. I got some coke. Me and a couple of comics. I'm not going to name anyone. I'm not going to sort of, you know, get anyone in trouble.
It was Lucy Porter and Sarah Milliken. I'll name them.
Miles Jupp and
Michael McIntyre.
You know, and we just got a couple of bags of skag in, man, and just fucking just got on it. No, but we
just booted it up in a toilet.
Me and a couple of comics. Basically, it was the end of the festival. We'd been out most nights drinking and that, but we hadn't done anything else. And then we just sort of put the word around. Can anyone just get anything that's not fucking weed or MDMA? Because we're not 15 years old. And then we got
some adult drugs.
Yeah. And somebody put us in touch with somebody. And basically we got put in touch with somebody who was, you know, was quite a well-off business type. And they went, I can get you some coke. And it was $350, which is, you know, what's that? About 200 quid, I reckon. It was absolute rocket fuel. I'm talking, we all went up to a little sort of sneaky part of a comedy club. And we did it. And no, it didn't do a lot. We just did a bit each. And honestly, we all looked at each other like, fuck me. And we ended up having this absolute rampage of a night. Yeah, three-way absolutely went right through each other.
He thought it was an expression until he looked around. His dick's out.
Anyway, we just literally just fucked each other's brains out and then just went back to the club.
just thumbing in three separate coke dicks.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely disgusting.
Marshmallows through keyholes.
But then any other time I've even, you know, gone near the stuff in this country, it's always been either just crap or speed. It has been speed. It's been, you just feel a bit gross and your heart's racing. You're like, this isn't pleasant at all.
There's nothing worse than a fucking sniff and you go, you motherfuckers have sold me. I'd rather you just told me no. I'd rather you sold me fucking flour, man, because speed is an evening ruiner,
it's
man.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It makes you feel like some sort, it's like you're on crack or something. It's a real gross, like, you know, you just feel disgusting. So yeah, it's not.
They fucking love meth here, man.
Oh mate, they love it. I would say
it's their favorite thing.
Melbourne. I wouldn't sort of, you know, I don't really know Sydney as well as Melbourne, but, you know, Melbourne's one of my favourite cities on earth, and it's lovely. And you go to the suburbs, everyone's so friendly and that. But pound for pound, because of the meth problem here, you meet the most nutters you'll meet in any city on earth. Like, in London, I reckon once a week, you know, I live in quite a rough part of London, once a week I'll meet somebody or see somebody on a street corner shouting at nothing. You know what I mean? That's like maybe a weekly event. Melbourne, you will see at least one
every day.
Every day you'll see at least one mad fucker shouting on a train. You'll just see somebody sort of screaming at a lamppost. It's a real, like, their meth problem is next level, man. So, you know, it is, as much as it's beautiful here and it's sunny and it's great, they've got issues.
Aye. But that's because all of those crazy people were trying to buy coke, yes, and somebody sold them a bag of fucking meth.
You'd argue they need to ship in some affordable coke, and, you know,
they do.
You should have took some with you.
Aye, there needs to be a flight between fucking Sydney and Colombia, and things will be fucking fine. Like, the economy will improve, mental health will improve.
I think that's one thing. The UK, you know, as much as it's just really cheap, affordable drugs, I think it just keeps everyone, you know, they just have their little weekend night out, and then they're just back to work on Monday. Here it's, you know, they can't get anything else, so they do meth, and next thing you know, they've got no teeth and they're shouting at someone in an alley.
They've just assigned themselves as some sort of trolley-based superhero.
Oh, man. Yeah, you meet some absolute, yeah.
Meth problem in America is people who have had, like, accidents that are on painkillers from the doctor, aren't they? And then they stop the painkillers, and then they need something else.
Yeah, well, America just goes, whoa, hey, you need drugs. Hey, don't get that from a drug dealer. We'll sell it to you. We're the government.
We'll advertise it on your telly.
Yeah. And also, they give them out so easy. Like, the sort of the painkillers they give them. Like, literally, you get a fucking sprained wrist.
Just doing a line of coke in the doctor's.
Well, yeah, they give you, like, here's some, you know.
The doctor takes you in the toilet of the surgery. Just a little bump off his key.
Yeah, like, you know, have you ever tried getting tramadol or anything in the UK? Like, you've got to basically tell them that you are dying from pain.
You got to suck man's dick. You got to bring him a DVD player.
It's always mad. It's always been for me, because of America, it's always been the legal drugs that terrify me. I will snort anything I bought off a stranger in a bathroom.
But if it's at medical trials, I want part of it.
Man, I'm if an American
tested
doctor,
on thousands of people and peer-reviewed studies have been done. Not for me, thank you.
No. If American doctors are like, this will make you smile, I'm like, nah, man, because you make more money from this than that cunt in the toilet. Like, you get legal money from me. Like, it's within their fucking wheelhouse to get you addicted, man.
Totally. It's, I weirdly probably have a similar view, but even though I've not done any bloody class A drugs in ages... you can't.
Nor I.
You can't when you're a father. You can if you're a bad father.
Is that not what the soft spot at the back of their head's for? It's just like a little tray. You can just. So I thought that was
a little bump out of their head.
Yeah. I know jangling keys make you happy, and the keys also make daddy happy. It's the first thing we have in common.
Yuck. I'm just seeing the time. We should probably start wrapping it up. It's
God, do we have to end on that fucking joke? Fuck, God damn it. I really...
That's great.
Oh, fuck. Well, no, people aren't going to know that now. All they're going to have is that fucking shite key joke in their head. And
we can edit it back to... where can we edit it back to? What was a good end point? Just you slagging off Canadian comedians. What we'll do is we'll edit in some names. We'll record them separately.
That was great, man.
Really fun. It's been a very fun show. And you're now just in Australia. How long are you in Australia for?
So once I get out, I'm here for 5 weeks. So lovely. I think I'm into like May the 10th or some shit.
Excellent.
And I'm so excited. How long are you here for, man? Will I see you in Melbourne?
Yeah, definitely. I'm in Melbourne until... I think actually we might be in Sydney the same week. I'm doing here... We're staying here, and then late April, 19th of April, I fly to Sydney for a week. So I think our Sydney dates coincide.
Please let me hold your baby.
She's super friendly. She loves strangers. Of course she is. Which worries me for her future. But, good on her.
She's just so trusting.
Yeah. She doesn't know what the world's
like. I'm not shocked that two of the nicest people in the world have produced a friendly baby. That's why I'm so excited to hold her.
She's good. She's good value. But definitely. But yeah, we're in Melbourne before that. But other than that, are you still doing your podcast with Kai?
Yes. I mean, we pre-recorded some episodes just because I'm going to be away for so long. And we're now at the point where, like, we literally started Patreon when I left for 7 weeks because Kai was like, this is spot on the time when we can't produce regular content. So that's how we can get people involved.
Our Patreon, it's called Floss and Humphreys on the Road. It's very funny. And our Patreon is currently one a week extra episode for everyone, so we're still keeping that. That's a decent
and the video of this goes on our Patreon, but the audio goes out everywhere,
so people can see that we're all topless for the whole time. We all just got our knobs out for, just didn't mention it about halfway through. Just
a little patron treat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get to see the bit where I made the key joke and both Carl and Julian
we showed the word, you the key
fuck
joke
you on a bit of paper, and we're just fuck you, we're ending it now.
We were both just checking our phones. But Annie, there's no other admin we need to do. We just need to sort of thank our normal listeners.
Thank all our new patrons that joined us.
That's it. That's the end of the episode. Thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoyed it, give it a share. Thanks to Daniel Sloss. Funny comedian. Funny man. Good man. Well done. I don't know what that meant.
No, Carl, it meant the world to me.
It's 12:33. I had a few beers. I'm really tired. And that was literally my last bit of energy of the night. Thanks everyone. Bye.
You're actually changing the podcast. I think you're... 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 I think you